the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, you hear this phrase often, seems that I do, politicians and news people and first one, then another, talking about people of faith. People of faith. Sometimes you hear it just referring to any kind of religious belief. You know, they're people of faith. I've read some criticism of the president for his praise of the Muslim religion, Islam, and calling them people of faith and speaking of that peaceful religion. Now, he's a politician and he tempers what he says. He has to water down what he says. But I'm a Baptist preacher. I don't.
Amen.
I don't have to. And maybe that's why more Baptist preachers are not politicians. I don't know. We saw this week what happens when a Baptist stands up for what he believes and does not temper what he says.
Yeah.
And just bow down to what the world says. I didn't know until just yesterday that Judge Moore is a Baptist. He's a Southern Baptist. I wondered really what I had in my mind. I don't know where I got the idea that he was something else. Maybe I was thinking of John Ashcroft, who is, I think he belongs to an Assembly of God. But Judge Moore's a Baptist. And he didn't temper what he said, didn't temper what he believes. Just stood up for it and did so legally and properly. But we saw what happened. I'm sure that all the judges on that panel that fired him are people of faith. I just don't know what their faith is. And I don't know how, I guess they just don't stand for their faith. You've heard me say this. Any old faith won't do. Now, when you hear it in the news media, or you hear a politician talking about people of faith, and you might have heard it spoken of this way, people of faith need to come together. You know, I'm kind of thinking toward the end time that one world religion is going to be any religion. You know, seem like that's the way it's headed. Any old religion will do. Any old faith will do. Everybody's trying to get to the same place, but that's just not so. All faiths are not equal. The Muslim faith, the faith of Islam, is totally different and opposed to Christianity. Now, our faith, and as part of our faith, we don't hate them. We don't want to destroy them. We want to see them saved. We want to teach them the gospel. We want to preach the gospel to them. And while we try to do it, we've got to be protecting ourselves because in their faith teaches them to kill us. So faith is not equal, just any old faith won't do. Now here in Hebrews chapter 11, this is called sometimes the faith chapter or the hall of faith. There's a description given to us of what faith is, a definition of faith, and then there are a list of people who lived by faith. We sang that hymn, living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? We're going to make some observations about faith from this chapter, from what we learned from this chapter. What do you do when you pray, and you pray and you pray and you think you've got faith to believe what you're praying for, and it just seems like God's not listening? Seems like God's not answering your prayers. What does that do to your faith? What does unanswered prayer say about your faith? How does it affect your faith when you seem to pray to God in faith, believing, and yet it seems like God's not doing what you're believing? God's not doing what you have the faith to ask Him for. How does that affect your faith? What about someone who has a disease and they pray that God would heal them and He doesn't?
Right.
Many, many people have become bitter over things like that and have abandoned their faith, just cast their faith aside because of that very thing. They asked God for something. God didn't seem to answer. Does that mean they didn't have faith? Does that mean their faith is misplaced and misguided? What does that say about faith? Our faith has to have a right foundation. It has to have a right basis. Just any old faith won't do. Something's not going to come true for you just because you have the faith to believe it. You can misplace your faith. Like people, from time to time, we hear about a mass of people who follow the man just preaching absolutely weird and extraordinary things, and he gets a following. Those people are putting their faith in that person and in their doctrine. I guess the most recent one of note is, well, this is 10 years old now, David Koresh and that bunch of folks that followed him out into Texas. You remember back in, what, 78, 79, Jim Jones, hundreds of people killed themselves because he told them to. They had a misplaced, misguided faith. They were people of faith, but their faith took them the wrong way. They put faith in the wrong direction. Now, if you go up through here, let me say this, too. Remember, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. May I say the true faith. True faith narrows the way. But now the way to destruction is what? Oh, it's broad. It's easy to find. And listen, all up and down that wide road to destruction, there are people putting up signs saying, this is the way to God. This is the way to heaven. That's what happened with David Koresh. That's what happened with Jim Jones. And that's what happened with some big denominations today that are so-called Christianity. They are on the broad road to destruction, but got a sign put up telling people, this is the way to heaven. This is the way to God. This is the way to eternal life. And people follow that way, and they find out when it's too late, their faith was misguided. They were people of faith. They were people of great faith. Many of those people who follow those wrong ways give away everything they've got to follow that. Now, is God going to accept them because they were sincere and they thought they were going the right way? Because someone blatantly, intentionally deceived them? Is God going to receive them? We have to say no. They were deceived, yes, and their faith was misplaced and they were misguided. To be a people of faith, we have to first of all make sure our faith is in the right thing. Our faith has the right foundation. When you head up 59 north here, going to Chattanooga, you get a place where you got to watch what you're doing because it splits off and goes toward, what is 24 there? Where is it going, Memphis or Nashville? Nashville. Okay. You're headed up through there and you've never been there before. And right before you get there, somebody as a prank climbs up there and puts Chattanooga, where Nashville ought to be written. And you see that sign, there's my turn, and you head that way. Next thing you know, you're smacking downtown Nashville. Oh, but somebody told me this was the way to Chattanooga. The sign back there clearly said, it doesn't matter, you were misguided, now you're where you are. We've got to make sure our faith is in the right thing, our faith is built on the right foundation, and true faith is the Bible-believing Christian faith. That's true faith. Any old faith won't do. The Islam faith won't do. Many things that are called Christian faith are not based on the Bible. They just won't do no matter how sincerely held. Christians pray for many things that don't happen. Listen, there was many a prayer meeting leading up to Judge Moore's trial on Wednesday. Christians said, God, give us victory. And it seems like we've got suffered defeat, doesn't it? It seems like evil has won a battle, but like I preached on last week, we can look for things like that to happen, but we know the end. These little setbacks along the way don't affect us because we know what's going to happen. In the end, we know that in the end, the Lord is going to triumph, and His people will triumph. People get discouraged when things don't go the way their faith, the things that they put faith in just don't go that way. They get discouraged and they say, well, my faith must have been no good. They leave the faith. They discard the faith. Let's read here in chapter 11 of Hebrews some things about faith. Are you a person of faith? Are you a man of faith? Are you a lady of faith? Of well-grounded, solid Bible faith. Read verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We'll read some other passages, but let's ask the Lord to bless this reading of his word and bless the message and teach us things about faith. We want to be a people of faith. Not in this broad, ecumenical, politically correct sense of our day. We want to be people of right, well-grounded, biblical faith. Lord, thank you for your word, and on it we base and build our faith. Teach us some things about faith today. Maybe we get discouraged in our faith sometimes. We have faith that things will be a certain way, and they don't come out that way. We have faith that we'll triumph and we're knocked down. We have faith that we'll be well and we get sick. We have faith that things will be all right and then they're not. We have faith that we'll be happy and things happen and make us sad. Lord, teach us about faith and help us be people of genuine faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go down to verse 23 and begin reading there, and let's read some verses that will show us that sometimes faith does change our circumstances. Now we want to think, and some people do think, and they're sadly discouraged when it doesn't come out this way. We think that by faith we ought to be able to always change our circumstances. But we're going to find that that's not so, but sometimes it is so. Sometimes, by faith, God changes our circumstances, and sometimes even that miraculously. When it looked like the circumstances were going to go that way, and there was just no other choice, it's going to be that way, and miraculously, with no human explanation, the circumstances change and go a different way. Sometimes that happens by faith. Begin reading with verse 23. And by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, listen to what they did through faith, miraculous things, where their circumstances just seemed to supernaturally change. By faith they subdued kingdoms. By faith they wrought righteousness. By faith they obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Sometimes, through faith, the circumstances change. And sometimes, when it looks like there's no way out, God opens up a way out. When it seems like sometimes when you're walking through that river and the water's piled up on both sides and it looks like it might fall on you at any second, you make it through and someone coming in right behind you is drowned. That's what happened to God's people. Sometimes faith changes the circumstances. Sometimes faith brings you a miracle. God even does that today. He gives these examples in the Bible, and we can look back in the Old Testament to see all of those recorded. Sometimes God does choose to give us a miracle in response to the prayer of faith. How many times have I said, sometimes? Sometimes he does that. Sometimes he delights in taking difficult circumstances. Sometimes he delights in taking and putting us in impossible circumstances. And then at the last second, in response to our faith, changing the circumstances altogether. Turning them around and making those bad circumstances into a blessing. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes he does exactly what we ask him to do. We just bow our heads and we just pray in faith, believing that God can do it. And you know what? He does it. And we can stand up and praise God. Sometimes he does it that way. That's a lesson we can learn about faith. But it is a misguided faith to get up and say, anything you think and say and ask, have the faith to believe, God will give it to you. How can anybody say that? But many people do. But if you've got the faith to believe it, God will do it for you. If you've got the faith to believe you can have it, God will give it to you. If you'll just speak it enough times and believe what you're saying, God will give it to you. That's a misguided faith. And it's not found in Scripture. Sometimes faith changes our circumstances, even miraculously. But sometimes faith does not change our circumstances. Sometimes you can believe your circumstance is going to change all day long, and it doesn't. Sometimes you can just believe, and I'm afraid that sometimes we get like making a wish, you know. You just close your eyes tight enough and say it enough times, I believe, and think we're going to open our eyes and be that way. But sometimes, it's not. Sometimes the circumstance just won't change. Sometimes that mountain doesn't move. Sometimes that dark valley just doesn't light up. Look at verse 35 again. Pick up reading there. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Boy, sometimes the circumstances miraculously turn around. These women were mourning the death of their loved ones. But look at this. Others were tortured. Whoa, wait a minute. You think they wanted their circumstances to change when they were on their way to those torture chambers? They were tortured. Their circumstances did not change. They suffered torture and they died in torment, in physical pain and suffering. Their circumstances didn't change. Not accepting deliverance. Deliverance was offered to them. They could have denied their faith. This speaks of those who were tortured and given an opportunity to deny their faith, as Judge Moore was. He was given opportunity in this kangaroo court, and I might go into that sometime. I've got hold of some things that you didn't hear them in the news if all you hear is network news and such, because there was a blackout of the things. You notice that? You turn on court TV any day of the week and see some goofy something in court, but something as important as this, the O.J. trial, wall-to-wall coverage, remember that? Something as important as this, no recording devices were allowed in the courtroom. I'm getting off subject, I'll get back to that. My point was, he was offered a chance to deny his faith. These were being tortured for their faith, were given opportunity to be delivered from the pain, to be delivered from the torture, to be delivered from the suffering. They said, no, I can't deny my God. And they died in that suffering. Their circumstances didn't change. But they were people of faith. They were people of faith who suffered for their faith. Read verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Why didn't their circumstances change? They were people of faith. It says by faith. They did these things by faith. Through faith, they went through these things. Why didn't their circumstances change? We gotta think about the sovereignty of God in these things. We can't understand all these things, but we trust them to our faithful God and Creator. Amen. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy.
Right. Amen.
Of whom the world was not worthy. This wicked world didn't deserve their presence walking on it. These people of faith who kept the faith in these circumstances, these name it, claim it, crown saying, name it and say it enough and God will give it to you. Their misplaced faith is not worthy to be considered alongside of these people who suffered affliction for the cause of Christ, who suffered for their faith, who suffered and would not accept deliverance. This mock, foolish faith people are talking about today. The world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Faith sometimes miraculously changes the circumstances, but sometimes it doesn't. They saw no deliverance. They saw no miracles. Where was God? Why didn't he deliver these faithful ones? He delivered those. Why didn't he deliver these? They were people of faith. They, through faith, endured the affliction. They kept their faith while they wandered about, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. It's just because in the sovereignty of God, sometimes the circumstances don't change. Yes, your faith is well placed in the Lord of the Bible. Yes, your faith is real when you don't see any miracles. Yes, your faith, if it's placed in the Lord Jesus Christ and if it's a Bible-based faith, it's real even when you can't put your hands and touch it and you don't see. Remember the definition? When you hear people talking about, I want a faith that I can see and feel. Oh, there's a song on a tape I've got. I don't know where I come up with it, but the song is, I want a religion I can feel. Remember that old quartet song it sounds like? I want a religion I can feel. Something I know is real. Even when you can't feel it, you can't see any reason to believe it, you're reading God's book that it's so, and you keep the faith. You just keep the faith. Because sometimes those circumstances are not going to change. Sometimes that disease is going to kill you. Sometimes you're going to pray for deliverance and you're going to say, I've got the faith to believe it. I'm assured God's going to do it. And he doesn't do it. How do we answer these questions about people say, how could God let that happen? How could God let these atrocities, these mass graves they're finding, how could God let that happen? How could God let that missionary couple years ago down in the Philippines, the Burmans, how did God let that good people of faith get kidnapped and live the way they had to live? And then finally, during a rescue attempt, him to get killed. Where was God taking care of those people of faith? Was their faith misplaced? God didn't intervene, it seems like. But still, they believed God and had faith and knew what he was doing. The Burmans in their captivity still were people of faith. Still believed God and trusted God. Here's how we answer that. Here's how we answer that. Where was God? Why didn't he deliver some when he delivered others? Here's the answer. People of faith do not judge God by circumstances. People of faith do not judge God by circumstances or experiences. Problem in our day, especially in our country, and it's spreading to other countries, is I read this term for the first time this week, circumstantial theology. Looking at your circumstances, looking at your experiences, and from that, building your theology, building your knowledge of God, instead of looking to God's Word and get your knowledge of God, and from that, judge your experiences and your circumstances. The sun is shining. We're healthy. We're enjoying a measure of prosperity. While that's going on, God is good. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? We sing when things are going good, but when things don't go good, where is God? And we get sour, and we're like that children's book. Have you ever heard that children's book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Things are not going good. We say, where is God? Why am I having such a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day? God must not love me. God must not be looking out for me. My faith must be misplaced. When it storms, where's God? When the sun's shining, ain't God good? When we lose our health, oh, God doesn't care about me. When we're healthy, count your many blessings, see what God has done. You see how we're not careful, we'll judge God. We'll stand in judgment of our God based on our circumstances. People of faith do not do that. That's how the Burmans kept their faith. That's how these listed in these latter verses of Hebrews chapter 11 kept their faith, because they did not judge their God based on their circumstances. They didn't judge their God based on their afflictions or based on their experiences. They didn't build their theology from their experiences. They looked at their experiences and then their circumstances in the light of their Bible. believing theology, their knowledge of God, their faith. If you build your faith from your circumstances, you're going to be disappointed. If you build, if your faith is built on nothing but your experiences, what you can feel and tingle and understand even with your mind, you're going to be disappointed. Our faith has to be built on the Word of God, not our circumstances. God still loves us even in the storm. God is still there even in suffering, even in the dark valley. In John chapter 11, verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And then you read down a few verses. Verse 14 said Lazarus is dead. But didn't it just say Jesus loved him? Verse 5 says he loves Lazarus. Verse 14 says Lazarus is dead. Sometimes when a person loses a loved one, they question, where was God? Did God love me? Was God not interested in what we're going through? Men and women of faith do not judge God by the circumstances. Oh, why did it have to happen to me? Why did it have to happen to them? People of faith don't judge God and don't question God based on the circumstances. They say, God loves me, and I'll keep on believing Him. God loves me. God knows what's best for me. I'm in the palm of His hand. God's looking out for me. God knows the way that I take, and when He's tried, and I shall come forth as gold. I'm just going to keep the faith and not try and judge God based on my circumstances. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. And let's review that for a minute. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8, 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, you can't judge God based on the circumstances. You can't build your faith. You can't judge your faith even by your circumstances or your experiences. You just can't do that. Paul said, who shall separate us? Nothing, nobody can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God is always with us, always. The darkest day, God is there. The most miserable circumstance, God is there and knows you and knows what's best and right for you. Listen, we know God loves us not by our circumstances, but because His Word tells us so. We know that He loves us not because everything is peachy and smooth all the time. We know that He loves us because He gave His Son for us. We know that He loves us because the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. I don't have to get that raise to know He loves me. I don't have to be in perfect health to know that He loves me. I don't have to see Him miraculously do everything I wanted to do to know that He loves me. If I'm looking for those things to be assured that He loves me, I'm going to be disappointed, and so are you. You can't judge Him or His love or even your faith by His circumstances. I said it has to be based on the right thing. It has to be based on His Word. On His Word. On His Word. That's where your faith has to be founded. And on His Word, your faith has to be built. One more observation about faith. Sometimes faith will change those circumstances. Go ahead and ask. Go ahead and believe God. But be prepared, because sometimes your faith won't change the circumstances. Sometimes they're going to get worse when you have the faith to believe they get better. Sometimes the worst is going to happen when you were believing for the best and you were speaking the best. The worst is going to come instead. Another observation is people of faith don't judge God by the circumstances. And our faith is not built on the circumstances. Our faith is not affected by the circumstances, people of faith. And faith. Faith is not just receiving from God the things we would like to receive. There's the idea that faith, having faith to believe, is being able to ask God and believe that He'll give it, and He does. And God, boy, God, that must be a person of faith. God hears everything He says and gives Him everything He wants. There's no such person if they're telling the truth. Faith is not just receiving from God what we want to receive. Faith is being able to accept whatever God gives. Did you get that? Faith is not being able to ask for what we want and get it. Faith is being able to say, in any circumstance, God loves me. He knows the way that I take. When He's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. He knows best. He's in control. He's sovereign. Nothing will separate me from His love. That's what faith is. Sometimes He gives us what we don't want. Make your way over to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I said, sometimes He doesn't arrange the circumstances the way you want them to go. Sometimes He gives you what you do not want. Sometimes He allows His people to suffer, even die without deliverance, with no miracle on their behalf. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Now, these next two verses give us what our attitude ought to be about this. Here are the first two points I gave you. Sometimes faith delivers, sometimes it doesn't. He said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. God's able to deliver, but if He doesn't, we're still going to believe God. God's able to deliver, God's able to perform a miracle, but if He doesn't, if He just closes up and acts like we can't even tell He's there by any means, we're still going to believe Him. We're still going to follow Him. We're still going to serve Him. Faith's not just receiving what you want, it's receiving gladly whatever God gives. That's what faith is. Jesus is our example, too. Back in our text in Hebrews, read chapter 12 there in Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the example for our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. That suffering, that pain that He suffered, was the suffering of sinners. And the sinless one took it upon Himself. And He says, now you consider Him that did that, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If we think that our circumstances are going to be all the time good because we believe it, we're going to get weary and faint. Jesus is our example there. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. But He died alone for you and me. There are other examples of that. John the Baptist is one. Sometimes God lets His people suffer. John was in prison. Maybe he began to doubt God. But we can't judge God based on our circumstances. Sometimes faith changes them. More often it doesn't. Faith is not asking for what we want and getting it. Faith is thanking God for whatever He gives. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. How else do we know that Jesus is our great example in this? What did He say in Matthew 26:39 in the Garden of Gethsemane when He's about to suffer the way no one has ever suffered? The way no one else has ever suffered, Jesus suffered for sin. And He said, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. God could deliver. But He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Amen.
That's faith. Let's be people of faith. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. You may need to come. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Jesus, for Your example of faith. And thank You for these examples, so many, recorded in Scripture, of people who kept the faith.
Teach us what true faith is and help us to be people of faith. Bless the invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Number 364 in the red book, 364.
Come if you need to, if you're not saved. Come and let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We're saved by grace through faith.